ఎంతండి?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Father, thank you, Sister Lisa. I'm sorry. Let's pray, sisters. Father God of heaven, I come to you just thanking you, Father God, for your love. Thanking you, Father God, for we adore you and your creation. Father God, just thank you for us being able to praise you, honor you, glory you in all that we do. Father God, I come now repenting of my sins that this prayer not be hindered on my behalf. Father God, as I lift this prayer up to you, I'm asking prayers for the sick, all illnesses, diseases, COVID-19, the new variant, and anything that wreaks havoc on our bodies on a daily basis. Father God, the bereaved, those that have lost of loved ones, the grieving. Father God, that you give them all that they need and what they need it for. Father God, I come to you right now just praying for the sisterhood as a whole. Father God, as we're on the call tonight, just bless the sisters that could be on and also bless those that could not be on for whatever the reason. Father God, and continue to keep your hands about each and every one of us and our families and extended family members with whatever we're going through with. And Father God, I'd just like to say thank you for letting us rely on your strength in our storms, whatever we're going through with. And Father God, I come now thanking you for the Lady Prayer Warrior Administrators plus assistant. Father God, the backbone of this sisterhood that bring about things that is glorifying you, Father God. And Father God, we just like to say thank you to them. And Father God, thank you for blessing them as they bless us to be better women in the gospel. Father God, come now just thanking everyone on call that is on program. Also, Father God, for all those that are out there in this world that are going through whatever they're going through, Father God, I know that you continue to bless each and every one of us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. But Father God, we just like to say thank you. And Father God, as tonight as our speaker come forth before us, please, Father God, give her the recollection of what she studied, Sister Cheryl D. Anderson, that she can present her lesson in an expedient manner, and also that she touched the hearts and minds of some of us that possibly are not members of the body to become members. Father God, also, Father God, we just like to say, as we open our ears and minds and our hearts and opening our bowels, as we receive God's word from my sister, just giving way to her to be the person that she is in you, and you be her mouthpiece. Father God, I know I failed to ask for all that's needed and necessary. But Father God, please allow your Holy Spirit to intercede. Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, I ask this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Linda, for that prayer going to the throne of grace on our behalf. Now we will have a salute, a prison ministry salute by our Sister Joyce Williams. Sister Joyce?
Oh, okay, I was on mute, just talking away.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
I'm sorry. Good evening, ladies. My name is Joyce Williams, and I'm a member of the Prison Sick and Shut-In team. Our leader is Administrator Jan Goosey. First, I would like to thank all that's on the program tonight and all the participants. I will be doing our prison salute for tonight. There are two parts to our ministry. The prison ministry, it starts with a list composed of offenders who are incarcerated, and we get their names from family members, from friends, and for anyone who knows of anyone who is incarcerated. We have a list of ladies who write to them. Sometimes they get a response back, and sometimes they don't. But if that doesn't stop, we keep going and try to get somebody to respond. They try to encourage offenders along their life journey, and they also send tracts so they may study to let them show how the Lord wants us to live. And we also advertise all the time for ladies to join our team, and we also, for offenders, we need their name and address. Please, if anybody know of anyone who is incarcerated, please send their address and so we can write to them also. in our thick and shut-in team, my sisters, all the sisters sing chorus to all any ladies who are sick, and to our elderly sister who are shut in, or anyone who is shut in. Anybody know anybody, we are really to send them a card. We write letters, we call and check on our sisters, and in our, and we also send sympathy cards to family members that, who have lost loved ones. We send at least each month, we try to send hundreds or more cards a month. It is a rewarding experience to work with these group of sisters. There's plenty of work to be done, but only a few who want to work. I would like to encourage my sister to keep up the good work, and I love you, and may God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Joyce. We love you, too.
Okay.
And now we will have scriptures by Sister Cynthia Watson.
Thank you, Sister Lisa. Good evening, sisters. This evening's scripture reading will be taken from Psalm 46, and I'll read from verse 1 to verse 11, and reading from the King James Version. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That was Psalm 46, from verse 1 to 11. May God add his blessings to his words, to the hearers and to the doers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Watson, for reading God's holy word. Be still and know that I am God. Now we will have song praise by Sister Lottie Holcomb.
Hello, ladies. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow's like sea billows low, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. With my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should burn, if the trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, taste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend, even so. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Lottie, for that beautiful song. And I had to go on mute because I was over here singing it right along with you. Now we will have introduction of speaker by Sister Lalitha Crenshaw.
Good evening, sisters. It is my pleasure to introduce to you all tonight Cheryl Denise Anderson, who is a resident of Fort Worth, Texas, better known as DFW. She became an official member of the Body of Christ on August 27, 1972, at the Lake Como Church of Christ, where the minister, David C. Benford, Jr., was the minister. Her parents are Henry Lee Anderson, deceased, and her mother is Catherine Anderson Walker, affectionately known as Mother Walker. Cheryl now attends the West Vicary Church of Christ, where her minister is Brother Freddie Brigham. Cheryl is an author, singer, composer, choral director who is deeply involved in the arts. She is her congregation's women Bible study teacher. She is a women's motivational speaker, women's Christian counselor, the founder of the ladies group based on Titus 2 called Preparing Ourselves for the Kingdom, Church of Christ Women's Ministries, the proprietor of CDA Productions, and most importantly, she is a child of God who wants to live holy and spread the good news to others that Jesus lives and Jesus saves. She is a member of several LPW teams, the Welcome Team, the LPW Live Stream and Happenings Team, one of the leaders of the LPW Crisis Counseling Team, and lastly, she is the leader of the Every Sister Accounted For Mentoring Program. I present to some and introduce to others Lady Prayer Warrior, Cheryl Denise Anderson.
Good evening, Lady Prayer Warriors. It's so glad to be on the call this evening and so glad that you're here. I'd also like to say thank you to all of our honored guests. We are so glad to have you, and we invite you to come each and every Friday night at this time, as well as Thursday night. We have our prayer call, so come and join us on Thursday nights as well. I'd like to take this time to thank our administration for allowing me to be a part of the speaking team. And I just thank you for allowing me to have this moment to speak on this subject matter tonight. I'd also like to say awesome job to all of our program participants. If it were not for you, we would not have a program. So thank you so much, our hosts, Lisa McIntyre, opening prayer, Sister Linda Newson, our prison ministry salute, Sister Joyce Williams, our scripture reading, Sister Cynthia Gardner-Watson, our soloist, Sister Lottie Holcomb, our introduction of speakers, Sister Lalita Renee Crenshaw. And our closing prayer will be led by Sister Katrina Stafford. We just thank you in advance. Tonight, we're going to examine one of those topics that appears to be a taboo subject for some, a misunderstanding and a ball of confusion for many. But no matter what our views may be, make no mistake about it, the Word of God has already addressed this matter compassionately and authoritatively well over 360 times. God's Word stands alone, unblemished. We cannot ignore it, nor can we change it. Our theme for this month is entitled, God Has Not Given Us the Spirit of Fear. The scripture reference that complements the title of our lesson is found in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. I'm hoping that you all have your Bibles available on tonight. And it states, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's examine this scriptural reference piece by piece. God first tells us that he has absolutely nothing to do with the spirit of fear. So if God has said himself that he has nothing to do with this spirit, where does this spirit come from? Where does this spirit come from? By the process of elimination, there are only two types of spirits. One is the Spirit of God, inclusive of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The only other spirit left is the evil spirit, and that spirit is only of Satan. So know that if something is not of the Spirit of God, it is of the spirit of Satan. And if something is of the spirit of Satan, it is impossible to be of the Spirit of God, knowing that the spirit of Satan is as real as the Spirit of God. The major differences between God and Satan is that no spirit or no thing in the heavens or of the earth is as powerful and does not come close to the Spirit of God. In fact, God will also judge not only the spirit of Satan in the judgment, but will judge all evil spirits of mankind gifted by Satan, embraced by humanity. Secondly, the scripture reference states that God has given us power. Let's examine that power. That power is a sustaining power. That power allows us to make decisions on our own with strength as a gift from God. That power is a discerning power when we utilize daily the Word of God as our roadmap into salvation. That power is a conquering power, and that power exudes strength. We must use that power wisely. When we lean on God, the Holy Spirit is right there, and if we allow him, he will guide us. But we have to surrender in allowing him to do so. If we use that power negatively, we will stand before the judgment seat powerless when God does not receive us into his heavenly communion. Next, God has given us the spirit of love. We are to not only to love one another, but we must love God first and foremost. Now understand, to actually love God, knowing that he first loved us, we must love him by obeying and embracing his word as our daily reality. And if this is redundant, it is 360 times or more. That is how we show our love unto God. If we do not live by the principles of the teachings of God, how can we say that we love him? Because this is his requirement. He has already told us, if we don't love those who we simply see daily, how can we love him who we have not seen, much less ignore his commandments? Let us examine the last portion of this particular scripture. God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind. Once again, a sound mind is a discerning mind, a mind that understands the differences between right and wrong. How do we know the differences? So glad that you asked. Y'all forgive my puppy. He's running around. She's running around. 2 Timothy 2:15. Should be a scriptural reference that every single Christian of this world should know verbatim. By studying to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, it takes a sound mind that continuously studies in order to know and understand God's instruction. God in the judgment is not interested in excuses for not being obedient unto him, nor ignorant of his word. That is sort of like the laws of the land. We can be arrested and charged for a crime that we did not realize that it actually is a crime. Or, for instance, receive a ticket for a driving infraction that we did not realize that what we did was wrong. Nevertheless, the laws are applicable. We will still be held accountable for our actions, even if we are not aware. And that may sound unfair, however, it is a real reality. The same holds true for God's word. When we are wrong, we will still pay the consequences of our sinful behaviors, knowingly or unknowingly. If we do not use our opportunities to get our lives back in good standing in the admonition of the Lord, we will not inherit God's promise. So let's address the elephant in the room. It's a big one. Fear. What is fear? Are fears legitimate? Is it natural at times to be fearful? Well, the definition of fear is to be afraid of someone, to be afraid of something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. To be afraid of someone or to be afraid of something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. Let me give you some examples of some extreme fears. The fear of dying or losing someone to COVID-19. As we all know, it's been almost 2 years that COVID-19 has taken over the world with this big, big fear. People are dying. Families were dying and are still dying. There was no drug in sight. Nobody knew where it came from. Nobody knew how to end it. So that caused great fear. When your job has cut your salary in half, but your bills remain the same. There are so many people out of this world who are still looking for jobs because of COVID-19. Just imagine your job cuts your salary in half. You have bills that usually go along with the salary that you make. Your bill collector is not concerned about your situation. They simply want the bills paid. That's a fear for many people. When you have you are in a position to lose everything you have due to nature, such as hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods. There are some people, it was hard enough to see those things and experience those things, but there are some people who are just now getting paid through their insurance companies to rebuild their homes or repair their homes from last year's flood, only to have their homes demolished again because of the same thing. But now the insurance companies are trying to find loopholes to keep from paying those people money to rebuild. That could be a scary thing to know that you're homeless and not sure and uncertain what you're going to do and how you're going to live. When you have walked out of extreme darkness into the marvelous light, yet someone is attempting to scar your reputation by bringing up your past experiences to eager listeners, especially eager listeners of the body of Christ. You know, one thing we need to keep in mind with this fear is that when God has forgiven you and you have sincerely changed your ways, don't pay attention to what others say, because for them to be gossiping and trying to bring you down, their heart is not in the right place. And here's the last example. When your spouse is terrorizing you or threatening to kill you, there are many, many women buried today because their spouses killed them. The threat was real. There are many women in prison today who are simply trying to defend themselves from their husbands trying to kill them. Truth be told, fears are real. Everybody on this call at one time or another has a story to tell about fear, and will have more. Those situations are real and those fears are legitimate. If I ask the question right now, hypothetically, what is your fear? Everyone would have something to say about a past fear or a present one. Yet, as I stated before, God is compassionate, but he's authoritative on this subject. We're going to have fears, but the question is, can we as Christians remain in fear if fear is not of God? I'm going to repeat that. As Christians, can we remain in fear if fear is not of God? Can we serve God and allow fears, what are not of him, to run rampant in our lives, no matter how legitimate they are? Sin is legitimate. hell is legitimate. Heaven is legitimate. But hell and heaven shall never meet. God has spoken over and over again. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and 1, the Bible tells us of God's love. It tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Now, we ourselves are an imperfect people striving for perfection. The scripture states there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. God's love casts out fears. Now, listen to this. Because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. Why? Because God's love covers us, and we have to believe and depend upon him by reaching out to him, having faith in him, and having a personal relationship with him. Our fears will be removed. You see, God himself is that perfect love, and fears are not bigger than God. We only have two options. One is to believe that his love covers us or reject it altogether. Now, God, like I stated before, and I continue to state, has compassion for us in our struggles with fear. The scriptures would not have addressed it countless of times. God's love does not wax or wane. It is not a fickle or an emotional sensation. God's love for sinners is why Christ died on Calvary's cross for you and I. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans 8, 38, and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39, it states, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is a mighty and powerful, infinite love. That means it just keeps going and going and going. Let us notice Luke 12 and 33. This is talking about divine love for those who trust in Christ. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God loves us so much that he has promised those who love him a kingdom eternally. It is not of Whitney Houston telling us how to love ourselves. It is us understanding the love of God should be our greatest love of all. So when thinking about that, how can we allow our fears to be more important than inheriting the kingdom that God has made provisions for us to live eternally? Then God has told us something else when we find ourselves in need of his help and are fearful. The Bible says simply to pray about it. Pray about it. Luke 18 and 1 states, Jesus told the disciples to pray and not faint. We have to not only study God's word to have power, love, and a sound mind. Prayer strengthens our faith and our relationship with God. We need to pray without ceasing. You better believe that prayer changes things. When God goes to bat for us, Satan flees until his next opportunity. I simply love the book of Judges. I love how God basically fought and won many battles for the Israelites because of his undying love for them. So when we find ourselves afraid and in fear in our trusting of God, we must redirect our thinking, resolving to be steadfast and unmovable in faith. Make a faith adjustment when our batteries are running low. Refill that power source with a boost of faith. James 1, 6, and 7 states, "But let him ask in faith." Now, before I finish reading that entire scripture, the first sentence says, "But let him ask in faith." And what this is saying is, don't even approach God if you don't believe that God can help you. If you don't have faith in who God is, don't even ask. It makes no sense to ask of God anything if we do not ask in faith. Now, the rest of the scripture reference states, "Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he received anything of the Lord." And what this is saying is, if you're not going to ask in faith, God's not listening to someone who's straddling the fence. We cannot straddle the fence with God, period. God rejects folk who choose to be fence straddlers. Remember, God not only has compassion for us, his authority over us is absolute, and his authority is unchangeable. Yes, we're naturally going to have fears, but we have to keep our hearts, our minds, and our souls focused on God in hope, in faith, in trust, and in love to bring us out of them. Did you not know that we insult God when we put our trust in anything or anyone else above him? We insult everything about God referencing faith when we choose anything over him. Exodus 25 states, no, that God is a jealous God. So we really need to think about it before we put something over him. Can our fears become our God? Can our fears become our God like those who have faith in their possessions? Think about that. Anything can be our God if we allow it to. There is either faith over fear or victor over victim. We have to be consistent in our walk with God. Now let us address another fear. The fear of our very lives. The fear of our very lives. Is it legitimate? We have been gifted to take care of the temples of God, which is our earthly vessels. Like I said earlier, some people are more concerned about what others are saying or thinking about them more than God's instruction for their lives and what he is thinking of them. There are some people in reality living in fear and torture from others. I cannot belittle or take for granted the relevance of those fears. That's a reality, my sisters. Sometimes it is difficult to make sound decisions when you are terrified. That is why it is so very imperative to lean on Jesus at all times before we get into fears and remain faithful in his will and his ways. God has given us a promise and he has never lied to us. In fact, God is incapable of lying, and I say that in every class, every lesson I teach. God wants us to seek his refuge in all things. The scripture states in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Who is them? Anybody. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It goes back to that sound mind. If you know that you are in physical danger, do all that you can to get out of harm's way while depending on God's guidance and faith. In you in danger, it's real. Call the police. Call family members. You may have to relocate. You may have to hide out, but do all that you need to do while trusting and depending on God's guidance and faith. What I love about women's classes is that we can directly address us. We can directly address us, and that's what I'm going to do right now. Sisters, do not put yourselves in harm's way. Do not put yourselves in harm's way. If you already know that he's crazy, if you already know that he's crazy, do not go past go with him. Life is not a monopoly game. Another thing, unless you're having to work at night, please do not go out to places at night alone, knowing that there are criminal elements out there just waiting to harm women out and about at night by themselves. It's bad enough traveling alone in the daylight. But if you need something from the store or whatever, be proactive and get it before dark, or it can wait. If you're working at night or having to go before daylight, always have your keys out. Always be ready to lock yourself in your car. Always be ready to hurry to get to wherever it is that you're going. Always have faith and trust and prayer to God that you will be safe. Now let us observe more of God's promises to us. I'll give you a few more scripture references. 1 Peter 5:7 states, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There is nothing that God cannot handle. All of your anxieties, all of your fears, all of your hurts, everything, cast it to God. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There it says it again. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. God tells us in the Old and New Testament many times that he will not leave us or forsake us. Why? Because he already knows that there will be times that only he will be able to help us. And he is already reaching out to us in advance. We must accept him or reject him. Isaiah 41:13 states, for the Lord thy God will hold your right hand. saying to you, fear not, I will help thee. If I had an option to be helped through my fears, I would gladly accept him, his help, from the Almighty God, who I know for a fact is able to change and fix things above all others. We have to believe that. God shows his great love and compassion for us dealing with fears and our anxieties. Above all things. Authoritatively speaking, sisters, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. When all has been said and done, God will condemn us to the bowels of hell for not believing, obeying, and entrusting him with our fears and our very lives. Now, this is important. We, as Titus 2 women of God and as Christians, are supposed to, scripturally speaking, be there for one another. We're supposed to be there for one another. This is a part of our Christian journey. However, still, even with the support from one another, there are things that only God can change. Venting is fine. Prayers, faith, hope, trust, discernment, obedience, or priorities utilizing our sound minds. But sometimes, just truth be told, our fears overcome us. Our faith in God must overcome them and stabilize us. Our faith in God must overcome them and stabilize us. We live in a world filled with fears. Sometimes we as women are paralyzed in them. We should ask of ourselves this question. If we are paralyzed in fear, how much space in our lives are taken up by our fears pushing God out of the equation? Interesting question. God wants our souls all or none. We must focus with sound minds in deciding how to proceed with, listen closely, sisters, what I'm about to say, conquering our fears. Yes, we must be conquerors in the Lord. There goes that power. Isn't that what David believed? He had sustainable faith and power in believing that he could do all things through faith. He marched his little self out there before Goliath while his scary brothers and army looked on. There standing Goliath with his army behind him with all kinds of elite weaponry. And David brought that giant down through faith. He was a faithful conqueror. And God for sure played the most major role in deeming that victory to be so. We must be too. We must have that David faith. This is how serious God is. And he states in Matthew 10 and 28. Please listen to this scripture. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to kill the body and the soul. And who do you think that is? That's powerful. Remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, Hebrews 11 and 1. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 states, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Submit to him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't get clearer than that. I would like to share something with you, my recent journey dealing with my faith and, unfortunately, my fears. Sisters, it is important to share with one another our strength, our weaknesses, our victories, and our sorrows. Because through sharing our stories, we encourage and strengthen others. Let them see our imperfections. Let them see when we fail. Let them see when we have our victories. Let them see when we get back up. Let them see our growth. My eldest sister was hospitalized about 3 weeks ago. She had spent 6 months earlier this year in the hospital and then rehab. Once she was finally released from the hospital and went back to rehab, she immediately had to be hospitalized again because she contracted COVID-19. Due to our surprise, she recovered surprisingly well and quickly and returned home. She had COPD for years and had been on oxygen for years. But God, she truly was a conqueror and had great faith. They brought her to my mom's birthday party, August the 31st. When they put her into the car, when time came to leave, she fell into the seat crying and hating to leave my mom. She lived a couple of cities away. She had begun hyperventilating and stopped breathing several times. She ended up in the hospital again recently, about 3 weeks ago, as I just stated. She was a fighter. That is what we expected of her because that was what she was. Doctors worked diligently with her. They ran many tests and found some serious things wrong. They were looking for options on how to proceed in solving her issues just like before, possibly operations. After trying all of their options, they finally concluded that she was no longer a candidate to survive surgeries because she was just simply too weak, and that is what she needed. It was an impossible situation by man's views this time. They could not save her. There was absolutely nothing more that they could do for her but to make her comfortable. When I received that news that she was returning home now under hospice care, I could not fathom the thought of losing my beloved sister, my big sister. So I asked the question, not really wanting to hear the answer, but I needed to hear it. So I asked the question, will this be long-term or short-term hospice care? Bracing myself to hear the answer, I was told short-term. Our oldest, our example, our bright light in the family, our problem solver, our sister, there was no words. Funny thing, after all that she had been through this year, and after all that she had been through throughout the years, it had never even crossed my mind that I would see Mary one last time, unresponsive, on her deathbed. I am grateful that I did not witness her crying out to God every second and every minute of the day until they decided to keep her sedated because the pain was unbearable as she did. Praise God. I was flat out scared. I'm just going to tell the truth. I was flat out scared to death just the thought that she wasn't going to get better. The clock was not going to turn back, and no, I was not dreaming or having a nightmare. I did not want her in agony. I wasn't that kind of selfish. I felt that I was in the twilight zone. After seeing her unresponsive, I suffered in fear of something else. I suffered selfishly and quietly in fear of my life without her. I felt all kinds of fears and emotions all at once. I couldn't sleep. I was miserable. I couldn't cry, but the tears were there waiting on me. I was physically ill. The entire situation was over my head. To retain my sanity, that's how bad it was for me. Because of common sense, that sound mind that the Bible speaks of over and over, I had to search deep within myself. I had to find it. It wasn't readily available for me at that time. I had to reach up and reach out to hold on to God's unchanging hands. I had to remember the love and the promises of God that he made to each and every one of us. And the faith I have in Christ Jesus, I had to own it. I realized that Cheryl Denise Anderson had to relinquish all of this fear and uncertainty unto God. The faith in me had to step up and move out of the way and allow God himself to stabilize me because I can do it on my own. The only other option was left to get sicker and to have a nervous breakdown. And worst of all, to be out of good standing with God Almighty because I wasn't thinking straight and did not trust him enough at that moment. That is what fears will do for you. You do not want to be caught out there in fear. We do not know when God is about to call us home, and we are, as believers, really don't want to be lost. And that, my sisters, was not an option for me. We, as sisters of the body of Christ, should learn to share more of our failures, our pains, our hearts, our sins with one another to encourage one another. I had to release it all into God because the fears were too powerful for me, coupled with all of the other serious situations going on in my family. Sometimes, sisters, even after searching the scriptures for answers, there comes a time that we must go straight to the source of our salvation, which is the Almighty God himself, through prayer and supplication. I had to, and have to hold on even now tighter to God and trust my God with faith over fears. I had to release them to him because once again my soul ached. I was alone because no one knew the magnitude of my fears up until now, or my heart was so broken in two. Peace be still is what I needed from God. I had to remember that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have to go to him, trust in him, hold on to him. I told him that I cannot do this by myself. Everyone else were hurting too, but I needed God's help personally, God's provision personally. I gave it to God. I called up on him and helped me. I told him to help me, please. The more that I called upon him, my fears began dissipating. I was being comforted. Didn't God tell us to come, all who are heavy laden, and we will find rest unto our souls? I began to focus. I thought of what life for my sister would be like in unyielding agony, screaming constantly and crying out to God to be stretched out in that situation for more months to make us feel better. How unfair of us if we would have tried to do that. I also remembered the word of God. The day that we were born, no matter what the causes of our passing away may be, there is a date that we shall perish, noted that day that we entered into this world. I relinquished my everything to God. Sisters, as I come to my conclusion, the answers that we want sometimes may not always be yes, but God is able and capable of seeing us through all things. Call on him, cry on him, utilize him, obey him, most importantly, love him. I will share this with you how. Am I mourning? Absolutely. But God is helping me, and so are you all. And I want to say right now, thank you for what you all have been and who you've been to me during this time of bereavement. In our situations, no matter what they may be, we must become conquerors over our fears. We must just hold on to God's unchanging hands. Remember this, my sisters. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, when your earthly friends forsake you, still more closely to him cling. Sometimes earthly friends, for whatever reasons, are incapable of comforting you. They may be struggling themselves, but when your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. You know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Remember that God has a prepared place for prepared people, not inclusive of the fearful. The Bible states in John 14, chapter 3, verse, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also be where I am. Amen, and thank you so much for listening.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Cheryl. Now we will have closing prayer by Sister Katrina Stafford.
Ooh, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come approaching your throne once again, Lord. Father, we come just thanking you for Sister Sharaka Milton. Thank you for just giving her the vision to create this group, the Lady Prayer Warriors of the Church of Christ. Father, we just come just thanking you for just allowing us to come together. Father, there are many of us with many backgrounds, different cultures, different ages, and we come from all over the world. But you have allowed us to come together to fellowship as sisters in Christ with like minds in the same goal, which is to serve you and make it to heaven. Father, I come just asking you for the forgiveness of my sin. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short, and I ask that you forgive me at this time. Father, I thank you for your abundant love, your grace, and your mercy. Father, for just allowing us to cast our sins on your Son. Father, we are so forever grateful. Father, we come just thanking you for this program on tonight. Father, we thank you for all the program participants. Father, we just come thanking you for our speaker of the hour, our dear sister, Sherry D. Anderson. Father, we thank you for just allowing her to be able to present a lesson so that all who heard would be able to understand it and apply it to our daily lives. Father, I ask that you continue to crown her with the wisdom and the knowledge that she needs so that she can be able to preach and teach and spread your word. Father, we know that our dear sister has suffered many health challenges and has experienced several deaths, including the one she just recently experienced. However, Father God, we know that you are still in control, and we just thank you for just giving her the strength and the desire to be able to continue to do your work. Father, I ask that you just bless her family at this time, and that you continue to be with her. Lord, I also come just asking a special prayer for all those who are sick. Father, I pray that you touch their bodies and that you heal them in a mighty, mighty special way. Father, I come asking prayers for those who are bereaving at this time. Father, I pray that you just wrap your loving arms around them and that you comfort them as they mourn the love as they mourn the loss of their loved ones, Father God. And Father, I just come just asking for prayer for all the churches of Christ around the world. Father, I pray that we use that guide, your Bible, which is your holy divine word, Father God. Father, I pray, Father, that we serve the world with the love that you have given us. Father, I pray for all of our Lady Prayer endeavors. Pray for the Turkey Drive, Haiti Mission, and a special prayer for our 100 Days of Prayer. Father, I pray that as we go throughout our lives, Father God, I know that we're going to face trials and tribulations. But, Father, I pray that we remember that our God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the power, and we must learn to lean and trust him in all things as we have been taught on tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. We just thank you for all things and for all blessings. Father, I pray this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Katrina, for the closing prayer. Now we will have remarks from our admin, and I will go first to Sister Sharaka Mills.